Good morning and welcome to your weekend healthy chat. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and today we have another great show lined up for you. Our first guest today is Kalila Borghini. She is a licensed clinical social worker and a certified anger management specialist. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we are very happy to have you. So let's get started. So tell me a little bit about yourself and what made you interested in the field that you're currently in.
Well, I had been, have been, and am still in private practice for 15 years, and I felt that there was a need to specialize in something that would make have an immediate impact on people's lives. The techniques of anger management are very different from the more psychodynamically oriented, insight-oriented psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. When I first started, I figured, all right, well, let me check this out. I'm not so sure it really works. But the more I studied and the more research I did, I realized that an anger management program can really be effective in creating lasting change.
Now, that's great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about your treatment philosophy.
Well, what I try to do is, first of all, when I first meet someone, is to get a sense of them and what their issues are. Most issues are very complex. And in that initial intake, it's important to look for family patterns, legacies, and what the person comes in with in terms of what's interfering with his or her life. Then what I focus on throughout the treatment is building what's called a therapeutic alliance.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, that means that the person has to be able to trust me, be able to speak freely to me, and realize that I'm basically there to help him or her. I'm not the enemy. I'm not there to judge.
You're on their side.
I'm on their side. I also, I'm very interactive. You may be able to tell that already.
And, which is always good.
Yes. In my work, I don't take a passive stance. I'm not one of those, I see, tell me more therapists. And that's basically the way I prefer to be in the room with the client. I give feedback.
I
give advice.
No, that's great to hear. So speaking of clients, so what type of clients or patients do you treat?
I have currently a very ethnically diverse practice. I work with children over the age of 12. I do individual, family, couples, and I have done group therapy.
Wow, it sounds like you do it all. So let's switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about anger management. So what do we mean exactly by anger management?
Well, when someone manages anger well, the person is able to be open, honest, direct, and basically positive. The expression is moving in a positive direction. In anger management, the focus is on very specific behavior, and it's on the present moment.
Now, why is this an important form of counseling for certain individuals?
Well, everyone gets angry. Anger in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a survival instinct. It's motivational. But for some people, it can be destructive for themselves and others.
Do you find that that's because they don't know how to deal with their anger?
Absolutely. There are learned patterns of anger. There are ways that they've observed anger being managed in their families so that they just don't really have the tools to be able to handle
their own
it properly.
Coping mechanisms.
Yeah,
their coping
absolutely.
Skills. Yeah, absolutely.
What's important in terms of learning how to manage anger is that the failure to manage anger causes stress in the person's body. From a biological standpoint, there are cortisol is produced, adrenaline is produced, the nervous system is hyper aroused. I mean, it's aroused beyond what is really called for. So physiologically, not managing anger can be very toxic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it wears out the body and it also wears out the mind. It can lead to physical illness and mental illness, such as depression and anxiety. That's only the personal reaction to not managing anger. It also wreaks havoc on relationships.
Absolutely.
So from both of those perspectives, it's really important to learn how to manage anger well.
So now what typically happens in an anger management session or in a group therapy session?
Well, there's usually an individual intake. I would interview a person, just him or herself, to make sure that he or she was really suitable for an anger management program.
Oh, okay.
For example, and if we get into a domestic violence either today or at some other point, batterers who are involved in domestic violence situations are not necessarily good referrals for anger management. So I have to really screen the person to make sure that he or she is appropriate and motivated.
Right, that they want the help.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes people are mandated by the courts to go to anger management. Sometimes,
or by their family.
Oh, yes, I was just going to say, sometimes.
And then if they're not open to change or to, it's going to be very difficult.
So you get some what's called resistance when they first walk into the room if someone's mandated either by the courts or by someone in their family.
Right.
So you have to overcome that. And then with the program that I do, which is through the National Anger Management Association, there's a topic for each session. And there's homework. Something, for example, called an anger log, where people learn how to break down situations in which they've become angry in the course of a day.
Right.
Hopefully they'll do it every day, but that doesn't always happen. And then be able to see what, when, what, where, why, and how, what triggered them, what was their level of arousal. So that's one of the tools.
Right, to really be outside the situation, looking in.
Yes, to observe, to become an observer. And then the sessions from then on are usually either an hour for an individual or an hour and a half for a group. And the program that I do is a 12-module program.
Okay.
And what that includes, it's two segments, basically. The first part is, or actually it's three. One is understanding what happens to you during an anger response. So it's the biology of anger.
Right.
Also learning what the typical ways of mismanaging anger are, meaning either stuffing or exploding.
Right.
So people understand, all right, well, where do I fit or do I do both? And they learn something about physiology and they learn about the anger response. The other part of it, which is the most important part, even though keeping track of angry responses is important, is to learn tools to be able to manage anger.
Right.
And those would include learning about one's personal triggers. It would include being able to be mindful, which is a present moment awareness. And that's done through meditation and breathing. So all of that is taught in an anger management program. Also, what's taught are ways of managing conflict in a positive way. So that for people who are engaged in conflicts, which we all are from time to time, it teaches them how to express themselves productively so that they can be heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, what kind of results can be expected from this type of work?
Well, hopefully what the person will learn will be to manage their relationships in a positive way. What research has shown that anger management courses have resulted in increased energy, in improved and effective communication skills, stronger relationships, improved physical and mental health, and improved self-esteem.
Wow.
And this isn't what I'm saying. This is decades of research, scientific research that have proven that. So it's a pretty important and effective tool.
Absolutely. So now switching gears a little bit, I know you wanted to talk about domestic violence. So what is considered domestic and violence?
Okay. I would like to read the legal definition of domestic violence because sometimes it looks like there's a very simple and strong correlation between anger and failure to process anger and domestic violence.
Right.
There's only really a minimal connection. Domestic violence is a lot broader than anger and anger management. So domestic violence is the use of intentional, emotional, psychological, sexual, or physical force by one family member or intimate partner to control another. Violent acts include verbal, emotional, and physical intimidation, destruction of the victim's possessions, maiming or killing pets, threats, forced sex, and slapping, punching, kicking, choking, burning, stabbing, shooting, and killing victims. Spouses, parents, step-parents, children, siblings, elderly relatives, and intimate partners may all be targets of domestic violence.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. The key word here is control.
Absolutely. And I hate to cut you off there, but would you be willing to come back so we can discuss this important issue?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great. And for those of you looking to manage anger, how would someone get a hold of you?
Well, I have a website, which is www.childofthestones.com. That's one word, childofthestones.com. Or they can currently reach me at my New York City office, which is 212-362-2691. And I'm hoping to get some anger management individual work or group started up here.
That'd be great.
Yes, I'd really love to.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to talking to you some more in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We have two guests with us now, both from Middletown Community Health Center, from the behavioral health team. We have Brian Murray and Kim Ucha. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're very happy to have you both on the show. So to get started, tell me a little bit about yourselves and how you became interested in this line of work.
Well, I became interested in social work in my senior year of college. I actually had friends who were studying to be social workers, and I hadn't made up my mind yet about what I wanted to be. And once I learned about the field, I decided that it was right for me. So I ended up finishing out my undergrad in that and then going to graduate school.
Very nice.
For social work. So
very nice. And for you?
I actually was interested early on in actually in the priesthood.
Okay.
And so I studied for the priesthood for a couple of years, and then when I decided to get married, I changed careers a little, but I always was interested in working with people, and so I went into social work.
Well, very nice. So tell me a little bit about what the behavioral health team does at Middletown Community Health Center.
Well, we basically take referrals from our own doctors. And I'm the therapist for the center.
Okay.
And so I work with our doctors our doctors basically will prescribe mostly antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications. And then I provide individual counseling.
And is this counseling you see patients on a weekly or a monthly basis, or it depends individual-wise?
It varies, but usually most counseling is usually done on a weekly basis. And then as things start to get resolved, it goes to biweekly or monthly or just checking in.
So. Okay. Very nice. And so tell me a little bit about the typical types of problems or situations that present themselves. What are some of the more common things you guys see on a regular basis?
Well, the most common things are people complaining of depression or anxiety or both. So a lot of people have different family stressors happening, illnesses, a loss of job, marital issues. And then we do get a group of patients who have a history of, you know, a longer history of having depression over the years and just have never been treated or were treated in the past, but have kind of brought that issue up to their doctors here. So they'll refer them over.
Okay, great.
So I'll do an assessment with them and we'll look at if they'd like to pursue counseling or if they feel they need medication. We'll have those discussions with them.
Very nice. And what are the typical ages that you guys see with the behavioral health team? Since you know I'm a pediatrician, so.
Yes.
I would say most of my patients are probably in their 30s. 30s, 40s, and then it goes up and down from there. But the majority are middle-aged.
What are the youngest?
The youngest that I see are usually 10.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 10. And we get some teenagers. We get referrals from our pediatricians. And,
right.
Yeah.
And what are some of the typical things you see adolescents for?
Mostly problems in school or problems at home. You know, oppositional defiant.
Oh, yes.
Some conduct disorder issues. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. Parents basically bringing their kids in because they're having problems managing their behavior at home or in school.
And Kim, what type of counseling, if you will, do you provide? Like, what type of clients do you see?
Well, my license level is licensed master social worker. That's New York. Mm-hmm. That's in New York. And Brian is a licensed clinical social worker. So based on my license level, it's more really an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Licensed master social workers can do individual counseling, but licensed clinical social workers have a lot more experience and hours.
Oh, okay.
So they're a higher level license.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, currently I am more of a program coordinator role.
Right.
And Brian does the hard stuff.
And you've been on the show multiple times, so you know, I know you do a lot of outreach with HIV as well as hepatitis C, so which is always very good to have, quite the asset.
Yes. And then, you know, there is, just to kind of add to some of the stuff that Brian has said, there is there are a lot of patients with substance abuse histories as well. So a lot of the mental health and the substance abuse histories can kind of play into, you know, making the problem worse. So we're really focusing on identifying patients with risks for both and trying to get them into behavioral health care.
Absolutely.
Or substance abuse treatment.
Absolutely. So how does the typical patient end up to you? Is it something that's referral basis only, or can someone make an appointment on their own volition? How does that work?
Well, right now we only take referrals in-house, so to speak. So from any of the community health center doctors or nurse practitioners can refer any of their patients to see me. So,
and where are you located out of?
Out of Benton Avenue in Middletown.
And if someone wanted to reach you, how would we best do that?
Well, they would call our general number, and basically they would have to talk to their doctor or nurse practitioner first. So if they wanted to come to me, they'd have to be a patient of the health center, and they would go speak to their primary care physician about a referral. Okay. And the doctor would make the referral to me.
All right, great. And anything you guys want to add before we wrap up the segment?
No, I think we do. We do a lot of good work.
Yeah,
I think it's very it's important. A lot of people have a lot of issues, and they don't really seek help for them.
Right.
And sometimes it just gets worse.
Right.
And then a lot of our, you know, unfortunately, that's when people turn to other coping skills or mechanisms that are not very healthy. So
which
we really
just alluded to.
Yes, yes.
Trying to control the depression with substances.
Yeah, so it's important to recognize that there is help out there, and. And it works. There's very effective counseling techniques that are very helpful to people and really help them get a handle on what's going on and deal with their life problems in a better way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so if you are suffering from something like that, you know, please feel free to see your healthcare provider so they can refer you to the appropriate channel.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both so much. And Kim, again, for being on the show. And Brian, we appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Now it's time for our email question of the week. And this parent writes, Dr. Sarah, my son is covered in patches of poison ivy over his entire body, just not his face. And he's really scratching up a storm. What can I do to provide itch relief? And should I bring him in to see his pediatrician? Well, it is definitely poison ivy season. With that said, first, what causes the typical rash you see is the oil from the poison ivy plant. So you want to make sure you remove the oil via bath, shower from his skin, but you also want to wash all clothes, bed linens from the time of exposure in hot water, as the oil can actually linger. As for itch relief, I advise over-the-counter hydrocortisone ointment to help with the itch and the redness, along with calamine lotion to the entire body, as well as oatmeal baths. Oral Benadryl is also key in providing relief. Now, if your child is covered with the rash or if the rash starts creeping up onto the face, bring him to his pediatrician's office as an oral steroid might be warranted to help calm this angry rash. I hope this helps answer your question and good luck. For those of you with further email questions, please feel free to email me. It's drsarah@middletownchc.org. Again, that's drsarah@middletownchc.org. I just want to thank our guests for being with us today, so thank you so much. Have an active and healthy week ahead, and I'll see you again next time. Take care.